Intuitive orgasmic thoughts. Yeah, that is what we are going to title this episode. Because I've come to a conclusion. To y'all that are not regular listeners, I really think highly of myself. I really think like a lot of thoughts I have, it really tingles my balls. I feel the swimmers swimming around. Feels like Michael Phelps is in his prime down there. Now, that's a big pause. More like Ryan Lochte, because I'm pretty brain dead a lot of days. but you know, I'm a big fan. You know, I'm a big fan of orgasms. that's a wild statement to say. I don't know who would be against orgasms. You know, orgasms for men and women. You know, it should be a staple in society. But yeah, sometimes we think so highly of ourselves. It's very orgasmic. You ever get such a great idea or thought? Literally, you get the chills in your body. And you literally feel your lower man region or woman region kind of get this like wave. It's almost like it's spiritually connected. It's almost like your connection to another dimension is being connected with what you should be feeling. It's almost like you connected with something outside of yourself. So there's a sensation. And maybe the sensation is literally something connecting that is making your blood flow. It is giving you ambition. Maybe ambition is really a form of you are finding something deeper outside of yourself. Or, you know, you just like your own clit. and that's my name without the N. But yeah, there's a lot of words that start with the letter N that are great out here. Like, well, not necrophilia, but you know, what are good things with the letter N? Neon, green lights, like my hat. oh, neon. Yeah. But yeah, orgasmic intuitive thoughts. I think it's really one of those things where you really think that a lot of thoughts you have. I think a lot of us people, we really think that the thoughts we have are just so sensational. It should just make everyone feel what we feel. And I think that's the beauty of art. And that's the beauty of communication, of whether it's verbal, nonverbal, or just pictures or images or just words. We just want someone to feel what we feel when we create something. And that's the hardest thing to do, is to have someone have the same sensation of when you wrote, thought of something, talked about something, to make someone feel that. I think that's what we all seek and destroy every relationship at hand. Yep. So yeah, welcome to episode 314 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah, recording this at 4:15 a.m. Eastern on December 28th, I think. Something like that. Jesus Christ. Whew, just his birthday. But you know what? He did like to squeeze some wine in his, esophagus. And boy, let me tell you, there's nothing soft about this. Yeah. I'm just going to relay out everything for you. I have drinking a whole bottle of wine tonight. Specifically one that's 13.5 alcohol percentage. What does that mean? Not a whole lot. Since my recent weight gain, I can absorb a lot more. I can absorb a lot more insults, pain, suffering, love. But most importantly, I can absorb what the world's got for me. And I'll be honest, I'm a man, I can handle a lot. But alcohol is a beautiful thing, right? You know, I'm not a religious person, right? But I do believe in these religious stories. That I know this is kind of crazy and ignorant and all the above and arrogant and just kind of stupid to say out loud. But I'll be honest. You know, I believe alcohol is a... It's kind of like a, you know, there's a lot of people that are criticizing hallucinogens, LSDs, and stuff like that. I believe there are things that are designed to inebriate us, to kind of humble us, to kind of make us think things outside of what we would do when we are sober. And this is not just me speaking from an inebriated standpoint. I'm being very transparent here. Where I do think inebriation from here and there is very important for the mind and soul. Because sometimes when you are so into your thought process and you're never able to seek outside of yourself in terms of euphoria, it can be very damaging to your horizon that you can expand to. Which I will say, I did listen to a Kevin Costner interview earlier. And he has a movie coming out called The Horizon. I think it's on HBO Max already. But the point I'm trying to make is, He listened during the interview. There is something about a man that has a say in his industry and profession that is very profound and kind of motivating. To where he does what he wants to because he set that standard early on in his career. He was never at mercy to what people told him. He's kind of, as he said, anal to the script and to people that are very into these type of industry and art type of things. Like, I am from a distance, but I wouldn't say I'm so attached where I'm so, like, you know, balls deep into it. But I will say, you know, corndog, these seal corndog stands are so absurd. I'm not gonna lie, there was a few weeks ago, I decided to buy a few, you know, crunchy, sugar-coated, cheese-filled, hot dog, sausage-filled corn dogs. It was the biggest rip-off of my fucking life. Not the biggest, but it was top, yeah, it was pretty top tier. I can't believe a man like me paid $6.50 for a sugar-coated, breaded thing with cheese filled in it. And it's not me shitting on what is the thing. My thing is, I always criticize it from afar. From the IG, the OG, because I am an OG at this. And it kind of got me to thinking. You know, I gotta admit, I'm pretty sus in the stuff I watch. A lot of y'all maybe think that I'm this very, you know, I'm this big, strong, whatever, presence or whatever. But I'm not going to lie. I've been watching some very sus things. You might question my sexuality. Not really. But hey, I be watching these foodies. I be watching these mukbangs, but these food influencers that are primarily women. Now, as a guy, it's pretty odd to watch a woman. You know, it sounds bad, but to be honest, I think guys and girls, we typically gravitate to certain subjects. We gravitate to our own gender. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, as a guy, if you don't watch a guy gargle, you know, 20 hot dogs down his throat for a food challenge, you're probably gonna, you know, go towards beard versus food or man versus food or, you know, Joey Chestnuts. And as a lady, I'm not gonna lie, I do like watching these food influencers, where they literally all they do is eat in their videos. It's typically heavy in the metropolitan or the big cities, the New York cities, the LAs, the, you know, the big food places, where it's like, I'll admit, I watched this other one girl named Carissa Eats. She's very big in terms of shorts and YouTube and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure she's big on IG and TikTok too. But she does have a contagious smile. I'm not going to lie to you. I think I realize, you know, you watch someone enough, you're like, why do I keep coming back to this video? And you got to have an honest self-criticism assessment of yourself. But what is it about? It's like, this girl is always happy. And it's like, damn, is that kind of a depressing feeling? I'm watching people that are always happy because maybe I'm unhappy. I don't think it's that deep. But, hey, I think typically people gravitate to happy people. Who doesn't want to be around someone that's like, hey, guys, oh, my God, it was so delish. Everything's a minimum 7 out of 10. She did do this one about Coachella. I've never been to Coachella. I'm not really a big Coachella guy. And going through the shit she ate and the prices and shit, I'm like, ugh. That would deter me myself. I'm a person, I think about, man, how good of an experience this would be. And the experience of the actual thing might be great, but the surrounding paying $24 for some pot stickers might piss me the fuck off. Or paying, you know, $28 for some, you know, crazy ass wasabi soy burger might piss me off, you know. And that's the thing, you know, it's, I like watching these channels that are kind of sus. Am I sus or am I just a victim of my algorithm? Maybe it's all a conspiracy. Now, there's a beautiful thing about conspiracy. I was watching some things about this incident in the 70s, 60s or 70s, the prime of the GM, the General Motors, where there was this Epstein situation before Epstein called North Fox Island, where basically these conspiracy with police officers, but basically some creeps that would lure kids, they killed them, and they basically took them to this island. It was like a version of the Boy Scouts, 15 miles to the Great Lakes, to this random called North Fox Island. And they would film these grotesque acts, these very just insane, just insidious type of bullshit. And it really makes you think, like, you know, it just goes to show that 20 years from now, there's going to be another obscene Epstein shit. There's going to be 30, 40 years prior to this child, you know, I'll just say child pornography, this creeps, these fucking people in positions of power. You know, that's the thing. You got to be careful about positions of people that abuse their power. People that have power, they're typically pedophiles. No, I'm kidding. not completely, but, you know, but that's the crazy thing. Is that you be watching these crazy islands. It's like, why does everything have to go to an island? You know, people can't, you know, just. And, you know, I do notice, and this is kind of fucked up to say aloud, but I will be honest. I'm very into and obsessed with the crime of what is with people that are into children. Like, I do not. Like, I don't get it. It's trying to break down the psychology of it. Like, one of my favorite movies of all time is a movie called Spotlight. And it is about the early, I think it's like early 2000s. It was not too long after 9/11 where this small newspaper, part of the, I think it was the Boston Globe, where this like investigative news aspect of it uncovered priest and Boston and stuff, you know, doing things, children stuff, you know, all that stuff, you know, nothing out of the usual. But how it expands to all around the globe, the country and everything, they expose all of that. And for why is stuff like that, why is nonfiction crazy shit the most appealing stuff? Like, one of my favorite movies really of the past, I would say decade, are The Social Network and Spotlight. One, they are both relatively, I mean, I would say Spotlight is more true to the real story. Social Network is obviously fit for a lot of entertainment purposes, but the basis of what you're hearing isn't necessarily false. But whatever. Except Armie Hammer loving to, you know, chew on some things. Which apparently has come out and has said, all this has blown out of proportion. What I will say, Like, you know, I'm not going to be a defendant of guys I want to say they want to eat a girl's skin off. What I will say, you know, there is a market for people that are in that stuff. So before we just judge him, like, let's not just assume the recipient was just, like, completely thinking that would be out of bounds. Like, no one thought Armie Hammer was going to chew their elbow off. Can we just say that? But, yeah. I don't know what it is. Like, there is stuff out there that is very appealing and interesting, but it's fucked up to seek out that information. Like, why are we so obsessed with, like, conspiracies? Why are we so obsessed with the Epstein stuff? Obviously, there's a bigger underlying factor. But at the end of the day, it's just another rich person that you abuse their power. And how deep of, like, what are the famous people? What are the people in power that they have information about? Or just critical videos or just incriminating things that is being protected? You know, that is where this stuff gets a little, the appeal of the public. But yeah, I don't know, you know, I'm just a guy. I have a lot of thoughts. You know, I will say, I am someone that I have changed over time. This show has changed over time. I've changed. Things have changed. And, you know, it's one of those things that a lot of people point out. I did have someone in my personal life say, you know, you were just different. There's something different about you. And, you know, I agree. I think there is an arrogance. I think there is an unwarranted confidence about me. In a weird way, that was never there before. And you know what people say, and this is honest to God truth. People say the more you gain of yourself, the more you build yourself up, the more humble you should be. And you know what I say to that? Absolutely fucking not. You know what's odd to me is that when I had nothing going for myself and I had wasn't physically appealing to, whether that's the opposite sex or just you didn't get the same attention from guys in terms of like appreciation, and damn, there's an admiration of I want to be. That sounds really wild now that I think about it. Like, you didn't get the admiration from guys. What I mean is, as a guy, right? What you want to be as a man in this world is you want to be someone that younger to even people of your age and sometimes older of your age aspire that there's something about you like, man, this kid has something I don't. And what I've noticed in my life is I don't go around to do a whole lot. But what I will say is I will, you know, get compliments or I will get affirmations or we'll get, you know, ego boosters of, you know, man, like you just have a work ethic that is like, there's something about when I see the intensity you put into something, I just wish I had that in myself, but I just don't have it anymore. And I'm not even joking when I say I went to the gym today and there was this man in probably his 40s, maybe mid-40s. Seemed like a regular guy, you know, nothing absurd, just a guy that goes to the gym to just, you know, stay active. He doesn't have a crazy physique. He's, you know, in okay shape or whatever. I was doing something pretty standard. I was near the end of my workout. He comes up to me and he said, hey, man, I got to ask, like, what keeps you going? And I was like, I was kind of thrown back, you know. I didn't throw it back, but I was thrown back. And I was like, like, what do you mean with key? He's like, you know, obviously to have the look, he said in a weird way, but I know he meant, he's like, to have the look on your face, you are really intense in what you do, which means you take this serious. He was basically like, what keeps you like pushing forward? And I just basically told him like, well, I'm an unemployed piece of shit, so I have no reason not to. But but and honest to God, I was just like, you know, man, I've come a long way. Regardless of what appears in my plate, regardless of what obstacle comes in front of me, this right here is the one thing as a man, as a person, I can't control, which is my effort, you know? And I know it sounds cheesy and funky as shit, but I think sometimes when you notice that people that are older are trying to seek like what you put out and you don't even realize it, it kind of makes you take a step back and be like, man, you know what? I'm a pretty badass motherfucker, you know? And that boosts your ego to really think that all your thoughts are orgasmic. you know? But, you know, those little conversations you have with people that you don't know, I think really are a telltale sign of what the world thinks of you. Sometimes your friends are people that you are in everyday contact with, that you see on a regular basis. You know, it's very like, hey, man, you know, it's good to see you. You know, hey, what are you doing? You know, whatever. And all those things are good. But a complete stranger that's just seeking like some type of inspiration. And the thing about the crazy timing that God or whoever puts us in, that the timing of like, who knows, maybe I've never seen this dude before. Maybe his conversation with me, like we had a little 5 or 6 minute just like back and forth, regular, like, you know, this is just my life, you know, it's not easy all the time, blah, blah, blah. And maybe that thing will like propel him 6 months from now to be in like a different complete physical position. Maybe like sees that, you know, any regular person can do a lot of these things, you know. And I don't know, you know. I think it's just one of those things where never undersell yourself. Don't short yourself. This is the Big Short, and I ain't talking about my wee-wee. I will say, I've had a big fascination with filmmakers, right? I've been going down this rabbit hole of this guy named Vincent Gallo, and I kind of admire him, and I think us men should admire, regardless if you're into the arts, to literally create a film that is completely shitted on by critics. And you're like, well, if it's going to be shitted on by critics, I might as well get some head from it. And this man, I didn't see the movie, but based off the, you know, the Reddit forums and the video essays I've read of the criticism of this guy named Vincent Gallo, apparently there was a film he made in 2003 called Brown Bunny. I know this is like the wildest show you will ever hear. I'm talking about this, I'm talking about Brown Bunny, whatever. But this man called Vincent Gallo is literally getting unsimulated. Unsimulated means this dude is getting the real tang, you know, in a motion picture film that is put in theaters. This man is getting a real head, right? Meaning they actually show the girl doing the thing on him, you know, a real actress, not just like some girl that needs a job, that some girl that this is her first one. Like, this was a veteran actress, and she even did some stuff after, you know. And this man wrote a film. He's like, well, shit, shit's going to suck anyways. Might as well suck my dick, you know. Maybe that was a big F you to the critics. Like, suck my dick. but a lot of people's criticism of the film is that it was boring as fuck. And this man literally put in the end of the film, he's like, well, you know, and you know how these directors are. They try to put some artistic spin, like, you know, it's actually supposed to put that she's so in love with him. I don't know what his reason was, but it's like, whatever you put, you know, to be the writer, the director of the film, and you're the actor as well, and you're receiving head, legitimate head, I mean, you know. But it put me down this rabbit hole, right? A weird rabbit hole about history of movies that are rated X or NC-17. I don't know why those ratings fascinate me. I've never really legitimately watched the film that had those ratings. Because one, they're actually not that easy to watch. In terms of like, it's not like it's just on all these streaming services. You typically have to pay separate, or it's on some bullshit Pluto shit. And I'm not doing all that shit. But based off what I read, you know, I think we think that a lot of these grotesque filmmaking, this sexual drive, is just something from the past 20, 25 years. This stuff actually really started in the 50s and 60s. There's a film in 1972 called The Last Tango in Paris, featuring Marlon Brando. Yes, I know. Here I am being a history buff of a movie I've never seen. It's basically this about a French director, I think named Bernicio or whoever the fuck made this film. And it is about a man and a woman who don't exchange information. You know, it's kind of like this weird, she's married, they don't exchange information, this guy and her, and she's basically having an affair with him, blah, blah, blah. And they start having a purely sexual affair, right? Okay. So the film is very erotic. And apparently there are some very wild scenes. I'm not even going to say it. You guys can look it up. Let's just say it involves some butter and butt. Alright? it's nothing to joke about. But at least it's not real like Vincent Gallo. That would be wild if that scene was real. I don't know how that would happen. But essentially, that scene, even though it was fake, traumatized the actress to the point where she felt fucked over. No pun intended. From the film, the studio, all that stuff. Even years and years going by. And it really opened my eyes. Like, it really got me to think, like, how much is these intense sexual scenes, these intense sexual kind of snapshots in these films, as they've grown over time, has become more regular in these TV shows, especially streaming, where you get away with a lot of shit, you know? Like, there are certain subject matters where I wouldn't say it's like necessary to show the degree of sexual instances, but there is certainly a necessity to at least insinuate. So there has to be a sexual gravitation to a lot of shows and movies, because that may be the subject matter. Like any Michael Douglas film in the 80s and 90s, every film he did was about some crazy erotic sexual Wolf of Wall, where it was like Wolf of Wall Street, Basic Instinct. This man did like 6 erotic films. Maybe that's why he has a little tongue infection, if you know what I'm saying. but a man like to eat some butt. Nothing wrong with that, you know. but you know what? I just say the ice pick came around and got him in the tongue. freeze or burn is a pain in the ass. But yeah. But no, like, in all seriousness, like, how much is extreme sexual showing? How much is it important to tell the story? I don't know. But it certainly makes it visually appealing. I mean, think about it. I think we can all admit that when we think about a show that we watch, what keeps us coming back? We can all say it's about the characters, the stories. Sometimes it's about, are these two going to fuck this week? You know? let's be honest. No one is going to see Magic City to care about Channing Tatum's character arc. No one gives a fuck. Alright? And that, you know, that's the bullshit. Like, we want to pretend like it's all about the story, these plot lines, and synopsis. No. Sometimes we just want to see two people intensely simulating fucking, even if they're not really fucking, but just the idea of like, man, that's some intense love right there. And we, for some reason, love to see that. Which reminds me, there is this artist from the UK named Chi China, I think. It's like C-E-E-C-H-Y-N-A. She has this viral song called Peggy. where she is basically is like kind of fire. I'm not going to lie. The flow is pretty sick. But you know, all UK rappers sound the same. I'm sorry. All you drill beat, we call it drill, really is just all an excuse for you to come out with basic ass strategic beats where you all can just rap on the same beats because you don't want to change your flow once so fucking ever. But whatever. I'm not here to criticize the UK. I'm not in no position to do that. What I will say is she sounds like every other UK rapper. All right. Except 21. apparently she says you can do something for me. Scooping your shrimp up in your pants. I hate to say it, but that's the thing about the British accent. I hate to say it. All the girls and all the guys, you all sound the same. I don't mean to sound kind of biased or that's not racist. That's maybe discriminatory. But you all sound the same. There's no distinction in your voice. You know, you can say what you want. If you guys were to put a blindfold and not see who you're listening to, you'd probably be hard to tell who the fuck is rapping. I'm just saying. But her music videos are very Meg Thee Stallion. People are saying she's Meg Thee Stallion of the UK. She's really going around the UK or Paris or France, wherever the fuck. Going around in her bikini, riding on these double top buses, going around the city. People are taking pictures of her in the music video. And it's legitimate, you know? Apparently she has OnlyFans. But she's not actually OnlyFansing, if you know what I'm saying. But I don't know, you know? But yeah, it's crazy out here. It's all orgasmic, you know. We are obsessed with orgasms, sex, and just the next appealing visual thing, you know. That's the crazy part. It doesn't even matter what age, you know. I'll come out and say it. A lot of these children, these teenagers, young adult, they are all driven on the appeal of having sexual beings. And I will say this, I do not give a fuck what anyone says. A lot of anime is driven for dudes that don't have sex. I will say it, you know. I know that sounds crazy, but I'm gonna be honest. Like, it is a heavy appeal of watching cartoon tits making a shitload of noises while reminding you of Pokemon balls. Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense. And I'm not anti-anime, you know, whoever watches it. All I know, in my experience, just saying, people, specifically guys that are obsessed with, like, anime and stuff, are typically very weird-ass people that ideas of how the real world works in terms of relationships, sexual relationships, intimacy, is completely out of whack. I will just say that, you know, because they are used to just things being so apparent and easy, if that makes sense. But whatever, I'm going to leave that alone because I feel like I'm getting in some deep, deep waters there. And I'm already in some deep, deep waters. Yeah, suck some titties. In case I forgot to say. Yeah. But you know, that's America. Well, I will also say, I think music is kind of a dying breed. Like, I really feel like year by year, the appeal for new music is not really there. It's weird because, you know, we shit on, not shit on, but there's this heavy movement for reliving nostalgic music, right? And I really think the whole appeal of reliving, like, artists like Bobby Caldwell, where it's an artist that in real time was, like, you know, kind of famous, and then over time, like, but since they died a few years ago, now their legacy is even bigger. There's this heavy legacy where people want to feel hip and cool and relive old music that wasn't even appreciated in real time. It's like The Jungle Book. The Jungle Book was not appreciated in real time, even though I appreciate it in real time, and now it wants to be appealed to be more appreciated than it was. I hate that bullshit. It's people capitalizing on shit that they didn't appreciate in real fucking time. I hate that shit. I will even say, it's like Seinfeld. It's like these big sitcoms in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, the Seinfelds. Even Friends, well, Friends was a pretty, I mean, it's weird to say they weren't appreciated in real time when they were the biggest shows on the fucking world. But it's definitely a lot of people, because of internet algorithm to build your channel purposes, people post a lot of Seinfeld clips and all these TV sitcom clips to build their own channel, but they don't really give a fuck about these shows. They just care about building their own shit. That's the wild part to me, you know? I know. I'm a little tense here. But, you know, the shit bothers me. You know, I hate when I hear the term, oh, it's so nostalgic of 90s rock. Nickelback vibes? No, it's fucking not. There's nothing that I've heard in the past 20 years that reminds me of fucking Nickelback. Who the fuck reminds you of Nickelback? Jelly Roll? Jesus. Don't even, you know what, R&B is dead, rock music is dead. Hip-hop is still kind of alive. But R&B and pure rock music of just like the 2000s and 2010s, it's dead. There's no real rock music. It is alternative pop music with just some guitars in it. And they just do some like nice recorded high notes to make it have that Nickelback feel. It's not fucking Nickelback, alright? Wanna be fucking Nickelback. Eat my pom-pom. Not my pom-pom. But you get what I'm saying. My gooch gooch. Jesus. Woohoo. Guys, someone changed my tires because Michelin is coming. Oh, someone give me a 3-star. But no, man, I'm really sick of nostalgia. It is a, you know what nostalgia is to me? I know this is the most cynical pod in the history of fucking podcasts. Nostalgia to me is really just an excuse to say that there's nothing you have of current interest. So you live in the past and you revive off nostalgia of something that you didn't even like back in way back when, but you were riding the trend of nostalgia and be like, man, you remember that time? Man, this That's So Raven episode really reminds me of how simple life used to be when friendship used to matter. Nez the Classified School Survival Guide. Oh, it reminds me of when you share lockers and you have friends in the hallway and have 85 fucking minute breaks in between classes like that actually fucking happened. It didn't fucking happen. Alright? So don't sit here talking about nostalgia. Like, why the fuck, as a 35-year-old person, alright, do you want to feel like you're 15 liking 15-year-old girls or boys? Are you a fucking creep? I know. That's a bit of extreme. But you get what I'm saying. You know what I hear when I hear nostalgia? Child predator. Alright? Like, what are you going to do with nostalgia? Who are you going to invite over to watch Phil of the Future? Your daughter's friend? You know, you fucking weirdo. Jesus. I know. I'm such a fool. I need to move to South Carolina or some shit. You know, I need some shrimp and grits, you know. Scooping your shrimp up in your pants. Big old thighs, boy. Yeah. You know what they say. Behind every down payment, there's a payment to be downed. with balls in their mouth. You don't wonder if that's ever happened. You know, there's always the rumors. You know, there's always the insinuation. And the titles on these websites. I'm not going to say what websites. Where it's like, gobbling up the balls for rent. What are you going to do? I wonder if a landlord. I'm sure it's happened in history. But I don't know how the scenario would be. Where it'd be like, hey, if I pay you 2 months rent, will you gobble my balls? That's a power play. Let's say you're paying for a house, right? Let's just say rent for a year. You're like, you're 3 months into the 12-month lease to this nice, beautiful Malibu house. And you're like, hey, I'll make you a deal, Jeff. I will pay off the rest of the nine months right now. But you got to gobble my balls. Because as a landlord, you got to look like, man, the last three tenants I've had here, haven't even made it past 4 months. Gone through a lot of legal issues, foreclosure, legal, lawyer issues, where it's like, damn, gotta get them out of the house, but they're kind of squatting, you know, but they can't squat 300 pounds, whatever, you know? Like, man, I may have to gobble some balls, honey, but we're guaranteed to actually make rent this year. You know, we actually do some things. But you lose your wife in the process because you're gobbling some balls, you know. What do you do? You're being financially, you know, secure. You're doing the right thing. But you're not really, you know, staying true to the palate. I hate that term palate, you know. I'll tell you what. Because I was at the store earlier buying wine. And I hate the term full body. Or it's like, what do you mean a wine is full bodied? I don't know. Don't get too technical with here. It's full body. Are you telling me that you purposely half-ass body some wines? Are you purposely telling me that there are wines out there where you half-ass it on purpose? You could give it the full effort, but you half-ass it. I'm not a big fan of that. But no, in all sincerity, you know. You know, someone asked me, well, no one actually asked me this, but I like to put that scenario. I really need to think about this. Let's say I have a daughter in the future, right? And let's say she turns like 23, right? Life's going good. I parent her the right way. But you know, the adult film industry is just luring them bitches in. You know, what are you going to do? It's like, I provide you a good living, but I can't provide what that provides you, you know? I can't give you dick, because that would be weird as hell. that's a wild-ass thing to say out loud. I'm not even going to lie. But you get what I'm saying, you know? And that's a weird thing, you know? We all want to be someone to appreciate our kids' work they put in. Whether that's real estate, whether that's, you know, a podcast. then you have these, you know, then you have these weird professions. Like, if your son or daughter do porn, I know people don't want to hear it, but it is different, you know? And my son does porn. I'm not necessarily happy about it, per se. I'm just going to worry about, are you being tested regularly? You know, are you at least making sure you're working toward, you know? You can rationalize it with the, you know, with the son, you can rationalize it. Because, you know, you at least feel like a guy in that industry is at least having some type of power, you know. So you're like, son, I don't really love this. I really wish you just, you know, worked in a farm picking peanuts or whatever, boiling some peanuts at a rest stop in Valdosta. But you know what? Hey, you know what? If this gets you financially secure in 4 or 5 months, I can't be too mad about that. Because you know what? The pressure of the world to be financially secure weighs anything above of what is right or wrong in this world. That's the God honest truth. Now as a female, you know, as my daughter, it'll be a little bit harder. You know, at a certain point, they're going to do what they're going to do. You know, you can't really stop it. You don't want to be one of these fathers that completely disown their daughter. Unless it's out of spite, purposely to just go after you for some reason. But if it's just like, hey, I've gotten myself in situations, things aren't looking great out here, this is a great financial opportunity, it's not that you want to support it, but at the same time, unless you could financially give them a better life, it's really hard to be like, hey, can Davy Jones the third not pound you in this one? you know? That'd be a wild Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm pretty sure they made one Pirates of the Caribbean. Is it Caribbean or Caribbean? Because I do care if I be in that pussy. that's wild because I realize I'm talking about a daughter of mine. But I was just making a play on words. Anyways. oh, Jesus. This shit is wild. This is a wild-ass podcast. This feels like the origins. Like, one of the first 30 episodes. And I didn't even drink in the first 30 episodes. You know, that's a weird thing. You know, you always think about the origins of something. Like X-Men origins, you know? You know, Logan. He's one of the most beautiful. You know, I had a friend of mine kind of break down. Not X-Men specifically, but actually more along the lines of, what is it, Batman? There's like 28 different versions of Batman. There's the evil Batman. There's like these 18 different evil fucking versions of Batman that can like destruct shit to kill fucking anything. That's the crazy part. It's like, look, I'm pretty knowledgeable. I'm not that knowledgeable, but I'm aware because, you know, as I was a young whippersnapper, every time before we watch a Marvel or DC film, my dad had to break down the real comic book version, the real how it actually happens, why Rogue is this, why Logan does that. So I got the breakdown. But they actually get like these newer, nuanced versions of shit. It's like, bruh, this shit is never ending. How many fucking universes of this is there? Jesus, fuck. but just having a good time. But when you think about the origins of thing, it could be scary, but it could be rewarding because you realize how far you've come. Like, I will say for me, you know, I was actually talking to my lady the other day about this because she's never actually heard or watched my first, second, third, or fifth episode. Now, thank God she hasn't. Not that I say anything too wild. This is probably one of the wilder episodes I've had in quite a while. But it's just the whole crazy. Because I remember exactly what I put in the description. It was like Scooby-Doo wrestling Logan Paul. And like, because I remember my interest at the time. And it's crazy how you could start something that's public. It's public information. Whether it's the biggest show now or not. When this show gets to a point where it has a legitimate audience, people are going to look back and be like, man, this guy's interest is weird as fuck, you know? This man could talk about anything, but not really talk about anything. And I remember how the whole show was different. And in some ways good, some ways, you know, it's like, damn. I remember I think it was like a year ago. It was like, because I got a notification 1 year or like, what was it, like a 3-year anniversary, like 6 months ago of the first episode. And I re-listened to it. And I was like, oh my God. This shit is fucking, I don't even know if it's terrible. Because it's just like, I don't know what's terrible or good. But I was like, man, this shit is not exactly what it is now. You know, I actually try to go in depth. I try to have a real conversation. I try to go deeper and spread. And I was really then like Scooby-Doo. Velma. Oh, Fred. Talk about fretting around, you know. And I'm like, oh my God. But you know what? There's parts of that I miss. The beauty of just starting something. Not worrying about what people think. Not worrying about whether it's worthy of my time or not, you know. I didn't know any better. And sometimes not knowing any better is the most freeing feeling. And you know, maybe sometimes, you know, you ever hear these stories about people that are resurrected from jail, right? They completely change from jail and all this shit. And they completely capitalize on becoming educated in there, reading a lot, understanding the bigger scope of mindset, religion, society, and what really matters in this life. And when you have nothing but isolation, it could do one of two things to you. And I've experienced it from a microcosm, privilege standpoint. Like, imagine being in a position, right, where you don't have a job for a okay period of time, and you don't necessarily have to worry about not having a home. You know, that's a pretty good position to be in, you know, as my position is. It doesn't mean I could go the next half a year of my life and not have a job and things not go off the walls. But it means, like, I at least have some time to think about shit. You know, there's not a lot of people, believe it or not, if you look at statistics, there's not a lot of people in the world that have the opportunity. I think it's a crazy ass study. And this is grown ass adults in America. I'm not talking about like 20 year olds that are in college. I'm talking about like grown ass adults with family, kids, mortgages. I think it's like 70, it was like over 70 or 80% of Americans, American households, don't have more than $2,000 to their name, not in their savings, to their name for any emergency funds. Think about how crazy that is. And, you know, listening and watching stuff recently, like, and I've always felt this, like, people don't realize, like, all of us, like, 90% of us are literally one check away from being on the fucking street. Like, that is a real fucking thing. And we take advantage because we have a stable job. We know we go to work, we're going to get paid. We know we're not going to get fired from a job unless we do something stupid. Like, and people really do take that shit for granted. And that's the crazy part, right? Like, it's crazy to think, like, they're, like, chances are, like, if you are, let's just say in your status, like, in my status, as crazy as it may sound, I'm not a high or middle class individual. Technically, I'm on the lower tier. But in my lower tier, I am probably in the top 2 or 3% of my lower tier. You know, it's like they always say, be the big fish in a small pond, you know? And I'm a big ass tuna, and I don't even eat tuna. But apparently, you can eat tuna raw. And boy, I'm raw dogging these bank accounts. With nothing but cash money records. But yeah, it's crazy out here, man. I guess all I gotta say to that is just be, you know, be happy with what you got, love what you got, appreciate what you got, and really understand like what you put out in the world. Like, it's very easy to be like, I don't make X, Y, Z. But if you worked hard for a long time like I have, you also realize, like, you know what? I got a lot more than most people in my position. And that's a very humbling but also empowering position. Because a lot of people in that position, they can very get like, you know, like freak out and this, that, and the other. It's like, you know what? I'm good. I'm actually really good. So, yeah. Yep, that is what we got going in the hood today. You know, I was watching some earlier where they were doing a ranking of someone's hood ranking. And it was like this white guy, and they're like, they basically hit a 0.9 out of 10. And the only reference he has was Boys in the Hood. And I got thinking, what hood movies, quote unquote, do I know? The only thing I came up with was Undercover Brother. So, yeah. Battery's about to die. So, that was episode 314 in terms of Life of Pi. of the Often Be Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. So, yeah. Yeah. Whew, that was a wild ass episode. But you know what? It may have been wild, but it was true. Meep, meep. All right, guys. Have a great day, morning, night, evening. Boom.